seed. The scripture says that some fell among thorns, some fell among rocks, some fell by the wayside. When the troubles of life came, the scripture said, they sprouted, oh. But when the troubles of life came, they couldn't last. The issues of life choked them. He choked them out of revival. He choked them out of the move of God. He choked them out of the hand of God. He choked them out of the plans and purposes of God. Help me, Jesus. Take me personal on this matter, oh God. I use again. Till I look more like you. Until my only life is you. Spirit keep losing over me. Till I am lost in you. Until my only life is you. Spirit keep losing. Till I look more like you. That fell by the rock, when the scorching sun came, it hit them. They wanted to last a bit, they wanted to last a little longer, but the sun did not want to stop shining on them. They did not have capacity in themselves to know that the sun will be there forever. So you don't need to blame the sun. Build capacity to stay alongside. If you sign, you sign. Their convictions was not deep. If Jesus will help you, he will begin to bring you to the place where you will receive deep convictions. Deep convictions. David said, in the days of my distress, I remembered God. I remembered my convictions. My convictions still kept me on track. My convictions still kept me perpetually on the right angles. I know how to respond at every hour. Help me, Jesus.
Things in the heart of God, they are large and they are weighty. They are weighing us down. We don't even know how to respond accurately. For me personally, Since Sunday, I have been like in a sorry state or in a sorrowful mood. And all the things, it also affected everything. All the things, looking at the scriptures, what you still pick out as, in fact, the moods of the scriptures changed for me. It seems everything is like a slow procession. Just the way you could picture that slow procession when Jesus was with the cross moving and the soldiers followed. Then the high priest, the Pharisees, the people that were participants to, or the reason why he was naturally captured. Then his beloved ones, maybe his mother. Then eyewitnesses, bystanders, and spectators. Each one will be in close proximity according to his function in the procession. So the soldiers were very close because they must make sure that the cross does not fall off his shoulders, that he does not stop moving, that he does not die on the way, that the way is not the place of death. So if it will mean that he will die, they will look for a help. Come and bear this cross with him. The place of death is at Golgotha, the place of skull. Is it a procession concerning? You could imagine Joseph. This is a man that just began to understand the hand of God that has rested upon his life by dreams, by revelations. He has begun to see that somehow the days of God are also with him. Then all of a sudden, before we know what's happening, he's inside the pit. Before he knows what's happening, he's with the Ishmaelites. And then you could wonder when they circled his feet and his hands. And then they were leading not just him, but an other group of slaves that have been brought down to Egypt. So you could understand that procession. You could understand what's going through the mind of the young man. I know what God told me. I know that I didn't see this in the picture. What does this look like? What is its place in the fulfilling of that which I have encountered, of that which I have received of God? You could imagine that procession. He got to Egypt, he got to all this. You could imagine in the days of the apostles how the man John was being carried. Now, wonders has been that he has been cast into a hot oil and he could not die. He understood. And then he was being carried to an island of Patmos. My problem is not the destination. My problem is the procession to the destination. Some seeds actually fell by the wayside. So that was, those things were just disturbing me, and I could relate. A heavy procession in which Jesus is in the front.
And then,
men of which whom is going to work with, according to their function, are in close proximity. Now, nobody is indispensable, but according to times and seasons, and what is upon each man's life will determine his function for the moment. So the people their own is now, they will be at close proximity. But the procession is a long one. Jesus taught us a parable. And that is his life. And that is what is causing some certain things happen, even in heaven, even in the spirit, he replicates. He said that a man had 100 sheep, and then one strayed, and 99 was still on the mountain. He said, you relieved the 99 to go and look for the one. So the procession was long. Now he also would be living by that scripture. Just in case one man out of the long procession, do you know how many people that are available for these things? And then one of them falls. He said he will stop it according to his parable. He will stop it. Are you understanding? And then he will go and look for the person. At least, let it be that he went and looked for the person and did not find him. Meanwhile, it's hard to believe. It's also difficult to believe that the person would not come at the beckoning of Jesus. But it was yesterday that this doubt was cleared. He said, Thelma. What's the meaning of the word Thelma? It's the name of a person. But that's not the context. I'm not interested whether it's your name. I'm interested in what he's doing in the vocabulary of Jesus. And so we went into a little research. And Thelma means will, volition. So he said that what will happen now is this. He will do his part, and then 50% of the part is out of your volition, out of your will. Volition, will, it has hindered. It looks easy now. It looks easy. I'm telling you, by words, it looks easy. I surrender my will, oh God, unto you. Take my heart, take my will, take my intellect, take everything. It's easy. If you speak without revelation, it's easy. The only thing is just that when the seasons, when the test would be of your will, the only thing that will save you, if you knew it before time and begin to build capacity. So just like a long man, you could stretch your leg and overcome it. If not, the battle will be great. I want to just show us something, Jesus. In Joel chapter 2, then you will bring back this picture, because we'll bring it back. Things are joining. I was just thinking about this, or the Holy Ghost was thinking it, and then I looked a little bit and I saw it. So, out of the many things, there are things that God wants to separate for us to talk about. Out of many. There is a pathway he wants us to come to. But show me Joel chapter 2. Show me verse 2. I am looking for the place that says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
God, it seems as if He was looking at, He has told us that I sought for a man. I sought for a vessel I can fall upon on some certain seasons, so that he would become the tool of my pleasure concerning that which I have in my heart to achieve and accomplish. He began to think again. Not because he was wrong, but because there was no man. Then he said, I need to plan. What was the plan? He said, let every man be the man. Now he now turned and said, it shall come to pass afterward. Afterward, if you read verse 1 to verse 28, you see series of things that has gone. He said, after all those things would have been what would have raised a man. What would have, at least, God thought that thing would have been something like a ginger for a man to begin to cry out, for a vessel to be available. But it seems as if after all those things, there was none. He said, alright, I am the God of all flesh. Every man, everybody would be involved. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Look at the scripture now. All flesh, all of them. And so today we'll be looking at somebody all of a sudden, a little exposure into his presence, it seems as if his life turns 360 degrees. Meanwhile, it's not supposed to be like that. By reason of him, by virtue of how long he has interacted with the things that are not of God, and his soul has become cracked and hard as rock, then just a little exposure. No, there is something that was already hanging in his head. It's the spirit. It was poured upon all flesh. Paul now said, see, know we no man after the flesh. Your greatest undoing is when you looked at anybody in this season and then judged him after the flesh. You'll be looking at that thing, it will become a thing pertaining to the kingdom. Do you know why? God has sworn that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He was only going to give us two people on the face of this thing, all flesh, sons and daughters. Now he said they shall prophesy. It will come to a season. What will happen is this, or is already there. Prophecy, one of the major ingredients of prophecy is the ability to hear God. Nobody can come to this point of prophesying now without having without handling the tool of hearing God. So it looks as if God is going to fulfill a scripture that is saying, in those same season, no man shall tell his neighbor, know the Lord, forever, I shall write my laws in the heart, and every man shall know it. How? There will be your sons and daughters prophesy. How? They all of them, there will be a vital connection between all flesh and God. Every man will begin to hear God for himself. The next set of people, your old men shall dream dreams. I used to have a way, maybe it's because of the season that was. I used to have a disclaimer or a way I used to see this thing. And then your young men shall see visions. Based on the function and the people that you are talking about, the old men, what God gave them for this same season is dreams. And dreams, one of their basic, most basic function in the pathway of spiritual progress is direction. There are three ways you can get or you can know what to do. It can come instructively, directionally, or informatively. Among many others, so this is not all. So dreams fall under they that reveal directionally. You could wonder how Joseph was living his life. His life was directionally to the end. Don't feel for him. While he was in the pit, he dreamt that Ishmaelites would come and collect him. His life has been there. He did never complain. He knew that a day will come when Potiphar's wife, is not in the scriptures, but by knowing we could tell. He knew that Potiphar's wife one day. So he had already prepared for it. Even though it was not really direct, he knew that something like that would come. So he could refer to the one that revealed it to him. First, he said, how could I do this great wickedness against God and then against my master? But then God willed dreams to a set of people, old men, whether by age or not really by age only, but by experience. So you could trust when the Bible said that in these same days that he would turn the heart of the children to their fathers and the heart of their fathers to their children. Now it is what is happening here. What the children need, they may not have the capacity to understand direction, but there are old men that their life is on this. So what they do is to put out a hand upon you like the Holy Spirit leading somebody. What is he doing? Trying to grant you direction. You might have, okay, let's look at the last people. The young men shall see visions. Vision, according to God's perspective, is not static. Vision is whatever that you can. He says, write the vision upon the tablet that all will see it. And then, the moment they see it, what happened? They shall run with it. That is why it had to be young men. They have the strength to prosecute the visions. And so God can bring it. And as he brings it, what will now happen? The vigor, the strength, the zeal might be so large, and then they'll begin to even go extreme beyond what God intended. That's what removes Reuben. One of the things that removed Reuben from his firstbornship. I'm sure he has side second. All these people, they don't have strength. And by his years of experience in warfare, him and his brother, how can you explain the whole? Okay, I know these people were under pain because of the circumcision. But believe me, this is death. This is sword. A man can walk by something called adrenaline. I don't care. You understand that kind of thing? And defend himself. These are two men. They wiped out the whole city.
excuse me, if they had asked Jacob, look at what has happened, should we do it? Do you think Jacob give them assent? Direction.
They will still be angry. They might take revenge or letter, but
it will be by another direction. So, our fathers who did well brought this directional capacity amongst young men who saw visions. And the young men who saw visions did well by submitting their visions to their fathers, to the old men. Are you with me? And God said, this is before all these things happened, before all these things will happen, that I will first pour my spirit upon all flesh. And so concerning his words, command him. That's the scripture. You are believing God for your brother. You don't need to cry too much. Go to God. He said, afterward, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, including my brother. Add the spirit that is of you to begin to work. Engage it. It don't take time. These things is because I will pour my spirit upon all flesh is available. Quickly, quickly, Jesus. Okay, show me that. Show me. Okay, he's already here. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Joseph had a dream. Joseph was in prison. And then all of a sudden, some men came. He was with them in the prison. One is the king's cupbearer. The other one is the king's chief baker. What happened? They had dreams and they came to Joseph. Now, Joseph was standing as an old man in that prison. And then he began to minister, interpreting their dreams to them. What was his intention? Or what did he say? He said to the cupbearer, now your dream is this, that in 3 days' time the king will restore you and you continue taking the cup and you still be giving the cup to Pharaoh, that he will be restored back to his position. And then to the chief baker, when he has seen that the dream Joseph interpreted to the cupbearer was good, he now also decided to also tell Joseph. He said, I also had a dream, and in that dream there was 3 baskets I was carrying and there were bread inside. All of a sudden birds of the air came and ate it. Joseph said, he also means the same thing but in a different way. In 3 days' time, the 3 baskets is 3 days. That what will happen is this, that the king will hang your head on a pole. You will die. These two men represented the priesthood of Egypt. Melchizedek appeared to Abraham. What he brought first was what? The bread and the wine. Priesthood of Egypt was with Joseph. You could wonder why Joseph entered when he entered. Nothing was for joke. No, everything is a sign. He was already interacting with the priesthood of Egypt. And then, once God wants to invade or take over anything, he either stops their priesthood or he empowers another priesthood to become more powerful than the former one, and then by the priesthood he has access for altars to be raised, and altars that will be raised will ring out portals, and portals will lead to the right coming and ascending of spirits, just like Jacob had experienced. In fact, the 2 portals that altars can and would only raise is the portals that is called the house of God and the gates of heaven.
And so if you handle the priesthood of a nation, look at what is being given to you if you do well. You are given the access to lay hold on everything that is in the house of God, and the access to stand at the gates of heaven. It is David. He was given that same thing for the Israel of God. He was not saying, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. He now said, my feet shall stand within thy gates. When his priestly ministry ascended, he was given that day access to both the house and the gates. My feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And so Joseph was interacting with these two things. What now happened is this. They showed him the baker. How did he penetrate? In two ways. God decided to take away the priesthood of Egypt. He took the baker. Pharaoh did not understand, and he slew him, and the priesthood died. Now, listen. God began to use the priesthood of Joseph to change the atmosphere. It was that thing that made it. Before you know it, the cloud would rise, and then somebody could not remember. You thought they would. It's not about what you have. It's about the atmosphere being colliding with that which is of God's reality. And then God, they will begin to look for God's people all of a sudden. And then he now went. But that's just by the way. That's just, if I didn't share it in mind, I might forget it. But it's here that this one. And so, with spirit, cities, and civilizations. When God decided to begin to administrate his workings on earth after the fall of man. Meanwhile, you should understand that the fall of man had already allowed other spirits to begin to interact the earth alongside the spirit of God. Some of them is flesh. That's why God will begin to say that I will no longer strive. My spirit no longer strive with the spirit of with man, for he is of flesh. Thus, he has sided down that spirit. So, it is this same spirit that allowed men like Nimrod. Nimrod, the Bible said, Cush gave birth to Nimrod. Now, Nimrod was not just a man. Nimrod was the man that understood how to host spirits in evil. He was the one that out of him came out Babel, that is Babylon till date, that has never died, because a civilization, it became a city, and a civilization of spirits that cannot die decided to permanently rest on it till the time of Revelation. John was still seeing that the great Babylon, the city, is still there, even if it is not physical. In the name of the spirit, that thing was incubated by spirit, and they just came and gave it a reality for a season on earth. So, in God's restoration mandate, and as he decided to begin to allow the spirit to begin to run a dispensational game on earth, it so happens that it will not be as easy as it is, because spirits are already hovering the whole place of the earth. There is, as if there is no landing pad. If it is by finding a territory, there is no landing pad. God might not really find it. He might not find it in let's say name. He might not find it in Nigeria. If it is because they are everywhere. What now happened is this. Jesus began to speak a dimension to this topic. He began to speak, and he said, for they that will afterward hear him and believe in him. He began to speak, and he said, you are the light of the world. And I said, a city
set. He was now calling a man, an individual, is it? So just in case the Spirit of God is looking for a landing pad, which they only have to interact with cities. So the name of men are changed, but they also include cities. And though, so the landing pad, the Spirit can have permission to come and land in a man, and then through him begin to administrate his civilization, which is the civilization of the Spirit of God, is the kingdom. And he said, pray in this dimension that thy kingdom will come and thy will be done. And immediately the kingdom was revealed. The Spirit came. This man became man that could administrate the civilization of the spirits, because they are now cities. Any city that can host the Spirit of God is permitted to begin to administrate the civilization. And so Jesus will speak like this. Concerning Jesus, the Bible said the Spirit of God was upon him, and then they begin to show the coordinates of how him as a city will begin to affect other environments, because it will flow from him. He has the civilization of God needs to walk deep into him. For long, for 30 years, many appeared on the scene. The Bible said, by the wayside, the Galilee of Galilee, the Gentiles, they that sat in darkness. If you read that place, read it very well. Find those places. These are cities. Finally, Jesus dominated in his ministry on earth. From him, at the city, as the Spirit rested upon him, the civilization flew out. So he also duplicated it to his disciples. He called them cities. Allow the Spirit to fall upon them. And he said, now you'll be witnesses to me in cities too. And let my civilization, once you appear there, you are now mingled with the Spirit. So once you appear there, you appear into a city, one. And then after appearing to a city, what we are expected is that the civilization of the kingdom of God will begin to reign in that city. How will he begin to reign? First of all, is by warfare. When you contest and contest, he has already promised that the kingdom of darkness will not prevail. And so he said that and said that they would penetrate the city. And then men, how do you tell me that men will begin to see a man that just woke up one morning like Paul and just went into the temple and saw an inscription to an unknown God and just preach a simple sermon? Then they reported him and said, this guy has turned the city. The city. For all of them, they said, this be the man that turned the world. Meanwhile, what they have is in themselves. But look at how Spirit works. They must find cities. They are hungry to expand. If Satan comes there, he's so hungry to expand his civilization. He doesn't care whether you're a child of God. If you give him allowance, he'll begin to expand it. He doesn't have the fear again. He's a rebel. That's how spirits are. They are hungry to expand, dispense what they have. And this thing has so much weighed them down that what can only happen now is this. Jesus will begin to administrate the same thing. Disciples allow the Spirit of God. They have the same nature. Do you understand it? And so he said, you shall now be witnesses to me in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, in the most part of the earth. That's the same thing that happened. The Spirit of God. Paul said, just in case you are looking for spirits that will need to do this work with you, just in case you are not aware again, he said, the Lord is that spirit. And now, the Lord that, if you have prayed that he is the spirit, he now said, the same Lord has a spirit. He is the spirit you are talking about. But this Lord has a spirit. And so where the spirit of this Lord is, there is liberty. First, in the man. Second, in the territory. It won't take time. This is how people penetrated the city. Whenever you hear them,
They will begin to pray. They said that Father Nas will go and say, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. And then the man will now come. What are you expecting when the spirit has come? A civilization. What he did was to only make that place a landing pad that the spirit of God can come, making it a city that can accommodate the spirit. So when he now came, what now happens? A civilization that is of God begins to penetrate the city. So as long as that civilization is there, that which is not of God goes. Men interacted with these things. Some people are living this life daily, even as I'm talking to you now. This is what is happening. This is how God has intended to work. This is how he is, just that he expects that as long as he's, you have made yourself one that can host him, that he shouldn't tarry until you begin to see his hand and his civilization over the territory. But our only problem is that it has been long that the spirit has come upon men. But issues of life, rising and falling, many things. You need to pray to God and ask him to help you. Because God is waiting. He said, Paul said, we are waiting for all things to be summed up to Christ. But we have not yet seen them. Why? It is for men that it will happen. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies. It is through men that he has achieved that. You need to ask God to help you. Because it will take time. The civilization of God will begin to penetrate the whole earth. The Bible said, and the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth just as the waters cover the sea. Cry to the Spirit.